You know, then you've got to have enough rapport, but you say, well, I mean, really, how is that a problem for you? Let me know. Because if you take it just upon your assumption of what the problem is, or your hallucination, or your mind read, or if you just take them at their first words, then you're going to be integrating something that's not really the part, in which case you'll get a mild integration, or you won't get much at all, right? So, like, if somebody says, I can't decide which house I want to buy, I've seen practitioners put one house on one hand and the other house on the other hand. This isn't a decision-making process. What this is a parts integration. You say, well, how is that a problem for you that you can't decide? Like, you may go to this one or you may go to that one. How is that a problem for you? And they say, well, part of me believes that I can't have what I really want in life. That's a problem for you. Okay, I want to talk to the part of you that doesn't believe you can have what you really want in life. Or somebody says, I can't decide. Here's a real common one. I get this all the time. I can't decide whether I want to stay in this relationship or leave. And you say, how's that a problem, right? Because it's just indecisiveness at that point. You say, how's that a problem? And they say, well, part of me feels like I can't really have the love and connection that I want. That's the problem. Because when you integrate that part, that's going to take care of the issue. They're either going to find it in their own relationship or they're going to find it someplace else, but they'll have cleared up their issue. Indecisiveness is not the problem. If they say, part of me doesn't feel that I deserve to make money. Part of me knows that I can make a lot of money, but part of me doesn't feel that I deserve that I can make money. Part of me doesn't want to work more. Let's say they say that. Part of me doesn't want to work more. Would you integrate that part?
No.
No way. You'd have to say, how's that a problem for you? Well, I'm lazy. Now, some people would integrate the lazy part. I wouldn't. I'd say, how's that a problem? How's it a problem that you're lazy? Well, I can't achieve my goals in life. So would you say that there's part of you that's keeping you from achieving your goals in life? And they say, yes. That's the part that I would integrate. Yeah. So you want to get it on. You want to try it on and you want to go, do I understand how this is a problem? I think the setup in NLP, especially at the master practitioner level, we understand that the setup is everything. Oftentimes when Bandler, if you read any of the old transcripts from the therapy sessions that he did and so on and so forth, you'll find that he spent a lot of time doing a lot of setup before he even did the process. Process took a little while. The setup is what, I mean, by the time they did the process, the client was ready to make the change. I mean, all you had to do was snap your fingers and the client would change pretty much, you know? So Erickson spent a lot of time on setup. So, and it's been said that a problem well stated is a problem half solved. If you don't get the problem well stated, you're gonna be working on something that's not the problem. Through all the experience that I've gotten, that's probably one of the most valuable insights, is that we've got to really get the problem. And once we've got that, we're going to have a profound integration. Yeah, yeah, sir.
I have a question.
Yes. Sure. Yeah, I think here's what happens. I think that once somebody has an understanding of how a parts integration works, we can work out through our own issues in our life. It's like, oh my gosh. And we can begin to think. And remember Alfred Korzybski in the book Science and Sanity in 1933, the significant emotional or mental problems that people face in life is oftentimes due to their inability to traverse logical levels easily. So just learning the hierarchy of ideas and learning how to jump logical levels shifts our own thinking to where we can break through the boundary conditions of our own issues. A lot of the issues that you had in the past, you won't have anymore as a result of just thinking this way. And you can practice by actually doing the technique, but at some point you're going to get to the point where your thinking's evolved to the point where I just couldn't have those issues anymore. And then every now and then you'll catch yourself and you go, ah, hey, there's a parts issue. I didn't realize I had that. And maybe you're so entrenched in it, maybe the boundaries are a little bit thicker on it that you didn't catch it just by understanding the process. Yeah. You just keep saying, how's that a problem? You don't, how's that a problem? How's that a problem? How's that a problem? I won't put words into the client's mouth, but what I will say is if I hear him say certain words, I'll say, oh, so are you saying that there's a part of you that doesn't feel that you could, like he says, well, I say, how's being lazy a problem? He says, there's a part of me that's lazy. How's that a problem for you? Because that might not be a problem. There's lazy people. I mean, how about the people living in Jamaica enjoying their life lazily fishing along, right? So, I mean, really. So I say, yeah, in the Bahamas, they love that. That's just kind of sit back, be lazy, you know, fish, and yeah, it's not a problem. I mean, if exactly, if you were running around, everybody think you're crazy. So that would be a problem, right? So I'd have to ask him, I'd say, okay, well, how is that a problem for you that you're lazy? And he says, well, I'm not achieving my goals. And so then I might say, okay, so are you saying that there's a part of you that's preventing you from achieving your goals in life? And they say, yes. Now, that's a problem. I could see that. If they've got goals and there's a part of them that's preventing them from achieving those goals, and that's the part that I would integrate. Yeah. And then you're going to get a profound integration. I think that's one distinction that if you really take that on, if you hear one thing that I'm saying in the parts integration section, take that piece on. That's the most important part, I think. Then it says, have the part which represents the unwanted state or behavior come out on the hand first. Elicit the opposite number or the flip side of the coin to come out on the other hand. So you're going to have one come out and then the other. Do get a VAK image of each one as they come out. So you say, well, does that part look like someone you know? And we learned last night that we're going to do an arm catalepsy induction this time when we bring the arms out, right? So we're going to use ambiguous touch on the arms to where almost where they don't know where your last touch was. And we're going to make sure that we have the arms out here instead of back here or resting on their lap. We want them in the air like that, and we're going to do an arm catalepsy induction. And did you notice when I did the demonstration last night, Cynthia's arms dropped at one point. And what did I do? I just went back, and I said, just come right back out here. That's right, just right there. And I did the ambiguous touch again. Right? This is kind of the magic that's going to weave your parts integration together that's going to make it all the better. So you're going to get a VAK image of each part. You're going to personify it when you can. You're going to say, does that part look like anybody you know? So we're going to look to personify the part because you're going to get a more profound integration with that. If it looks like their mother or their father or Aunt Mabel, then a big blue fluffy ball. Then you're going to separate the intention from behavior by chunking up on the problem part first. We always chunk on the problem part first, and we stay with that problem part until we burst through the boundary conditions of the problem. Reframe each part so that they realize that they actually have the same intention by chunking up. So you say, what is the intention? For what purpose? For what purpose? For what purpose? If they start looping back down or chunking down, we grab a couple of those words and we say, okay, fun and having a good time. For what purpose? What's that get for you? For what purpose? And then they're going to finally burst up to the boundary conditions of the part. And we're going to chunk it up at least one or two levels higher. And then we'll go over to the other part. The other part will be easy to chunk up once we've chunked up the problem part. Then we point out what resources or attributes does each part have that the other would like to have. And remember, as soon as the hands start moving together, what do you say? That's right. You want to point it out. You want to say, did you notice that? So point it out to the client, and you go, did you notice it? I mean, you're not doing that on purpose, are you? As their hands are coming together, right? So you want to make sure you point that out. We talked about when the person loops up, when they start chunking up, they'll hit the boundaries at some point. If they hit the boundaries, they may start looping in their language or chunking down, in which case you grab a couple of words and then say, okay, all of that for what purpose? We want to make sure that we chunk them up a couple of levels above that. Then you have the parts notice that they were once part of a larger whole, and you can ask for other parts that were also once part of that larger whole. Have them join in the integration as well. And once we've done that, if the hands do not come together automatically, create or visualize a third part with the combined resources of each part. I never use this step, as I mentioned to you before. This is included there. I think if we chunk up high enough, we'll get the part. Place this third image in between the two other images. Create a series of visual images representing the metamorphosis or transition from each part to the central image. Bring the hands together and have the internal images merge. Take the integrated part inside and have it merge in the wholeness. And then test in future pace. Now, your test on a parts integration is as simple as saying, so how do you feel about your ability to blank? You could even write that down if you wanted to. That's the test that I use. How do you feel about your ability to blank? And I'll usually state the opposite of the presenting problem. So if they said, I don't feel I can have what I really want in my life, I say, now how do you feel about having what you want in your life? Is that something you can do? That's my test. My test will, because you don't want to say, how do you feel about not being able to have what you want in your life, right? Linguistically, we want to be real careful with our language, because once again, change is the order and the sequence of the internal representations inside someone's head. And we've got to be careful with what it is that we're saying, because you can't not affect somebody's internal representations with our language, right? So how do you feel about your ability to have what you want in your life? Is that something you can do easily? And they say, yes it is. Okay, then you've got a nice test, at which point you're going to future pace. So when you future pace, you then say, okay, I want you to just close your eyes for a moment, And I want you to imagine, just step out to some indefinite time in the future.